To God be the glory. This is Pastor Abraham Ogudare bringing you the way of God. The way of God is none other than the Word of God. When you hear the Word of God and you begin to do the Word of God, you're walking along the way of God. It is my pleasure today to bring you the ways to grow in faith. How to grow in faith. I saw the prescription in the Word of God. Second Peter, the very first chapter, that's where I saw some of the things that you and I can do if we want to grow in faith. But allow me, please, to begin to read the word to you from verse 1, the second epistle of St. Peter, chapter 1. Allow me to read from verse 1 to you. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, writing, right, to those who have obtained like precious faith. Apostle Peter, writing his letter to you and to me, all of us who have obtained the precious faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Verse 3, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who had called us by glory and virtue. So this word is for those who already have faith in Christ Jesus. And I want to zero in on growing your faith. How do you grow your faith in Christ Jesus? First of all, I'd like you to look at verse 3. First, in order to grow in your faith, you first need to believe that God has given to you everything that you need to live a godly life. Living a godly life is a provision that the Lord your God has already provided. Listen to verse 3. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. And as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. We've been given everything that we need in order to be able to live a godly life through the knowledge of him who called us by the glory and virtue. So that's the number one step. You need to believe it. I need to believe it, that to live for God is possible. God has given all of that to me, the ability to live for God, to live holy, to live true, to tell the truth. I have the ability, to love my neighbors as myself. I have the ability. God has given it to me to share with others the belonging that God gave to me. I have that also. God has given it to me. God has given to me, God has given to you all things that pertain to life and godliness. That's number one. If you want to grow in faith, you need to know this, right? That I can do it. I got the ability. God has given it to me. And he gave it to me. In the same verse 3, God gave everything that I'm going to need to survive in my Christian journey. God gave this thing to me, not not by my own knowledge, or not by my own doing, not by my academic achievement or the people that I know, but through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue. The fact that you know Jesus, that is how you came about the ability to live for God. The knowledge of Jesus Christ in you gave you all that you need to live a godly life. Do I get that clear? Number one, I got all I need to live for God. Number two, how did I get that? I got that by having the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Very important. As I walk in this knowledge, I'm growing in my faith. Now, let me share with us 1 John chapter 2, verse 25. Because of the glory and excellence of the Lord, right? There are promises that He had made for us. 1 John, I'm going to take you to 1 John chapter 2, verse 25. That I have eternal life in Him. I have eternal life in Him. 1 John 2, 25. This is what I see there. The Bible says, and this is the promise that He has promised us, eternal life. The Lord has promised us eternal life. You need to know that. What are we talking about? Growing in faith. Growing in faith. How may I grow in the faith that I have in the Lord Jesus? How may I grow as a Christian? Number one, I need to know, according to 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 3, that everything that I need to live for God, God has given it to me. How did I get it? I got it by having knowledge of who Jesus Christ is. And I also need to know that God has promised me eternal life. I have eternal life. I am going to make eternity. I am not going to lose it. When I leave this world, I'm going to Jesus Christ. When you leave this world, you're going to Jesus Christ. You let that be solid in your heart, in your spirit. No doubt where you're going. You're going to Jesus Christ because He had promised. It is a promise. He gave that promise that you are coming to Him. He said, where I am, that you may be also. I go to a place to prepare for you. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. So I want you to, from today on, grow in your faith by the expectation of the promise of Jesus that it will be fulfilled. He's coming to take you. He's coming to take you. To take you where? To His Father's house, that you may be where He is, that I may be where He is. Jesus has promised us eternity. So let that be in your mind. Expect it. And as you're expecting it, you're becoming stronger and stronger in your faith. Right? Now, if this eternity is to be a reality for you and for me. In other words, if the promise is of promise of eternity is to be fulfilled, if we are going to really, really get to where Jesus is and live with Him eternally forever and ever and reign with Him. Now, verse 5 then is going to be very important. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. It is going to be very important in order to do this. We must grow in faith if eternity is going to be our portion. How do I grow in faith? Verse 5 says, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence. Add to your faith. In other words, be careful. As you're seeking to make eternity, be careful to add to your faith, virtue. Virtue is number one thing that you need to add to the faith you have so that your faith can grow. When you add virtue, moral excellence to your faith, you are growing in faith. The second thing that is mentioned in verse 5 that you need to add to your faith is knowledge. Study the Word of God to show yourself approved. As you are studying, as you're learning, as you're looking, as you're reading, as you're hearing, and you beginning knowledge of who Christ is, and as you're gaining knowledge of who He is, you are growing in faith. As you gain knowledge of where and how He wrought miracle, your faith grows that He can wrought the same miracle in your life. As you read and you hear about His instructions as to the miracles that you too can do, because He said, "These signs shall follow them that believe, that in My name they will cast out demons, in My name they will heal the sick." As you begin to hear that and you're gaining knowledge that, yes, He said that, and your faith will grow and say, "Yes, I can heal the sick too in the name of Jesus. I can cast out demons too in the name of Jesus. I can preach the word too, and people will be converted in the name of Jesus." Your faith will be growing. Number one, moral excellence. You want to do only that which is virtuous, only that which is good. As you're doing that, the Bible says your faith in the Lord grows. Number two, as you're gaining knowledge by hearing and reading and doing the Word of God, your faith is growing. A third thing that you need to add to your faith, that your faith might grow, that your faith might increase, that your faith might be stronger, is in verse 6, self-control. Self-control. Verse 6, it says, to knowledge, self-control, add self-control. When I am able to exercise self-control, I grow. I am growing in my faith, because we need to grow in faith so that we do not faint, so that we do not become weary, so that we do not slide back, so that the promise of eternity can be fulfilled in our lives. You ask me, Pastor, how do I grow in faith? I say, begin to add knowledge to yourself. In other words, begin to read the Word of God, begin to hear the Word of God, repeat it and repeat it and repeat it, and then you begin to trust the Lord more. When you're trusting Him more, you're getting prepared for eternity. Begin to do only those things that are just, only those things that are righteous, only those things that are of good report. That is called virtue. When you're doing that, you are increasing in faith and preparing yourself for the fulfillment of the promise of eternity. And thirdly, self-control. Fourthly, in verse 6 still, is called perseverance. Add perseverance to your lifestyle. You will grow in faith. What is perseverance? It could also be called patience or endurance, right? When you're going through issues that are difficult in life and you exercise endurance, you are increasing in your faith. You're saying, "I know it is rough right now, but the Lord whom I serve is able to deliver me. I know I failed that test, but God is going to help me the next time I go for it. I am going to make it because I trust in the Lord. I know I have been waiting and waiting and waiting for them to call me to for employment, but God is going to do it. God is going to do it." You're persevering. You're going through some maybe sickness that you're diagnosed with, but you're saying, "This is not what what's going to kill me. I am going to live and not die. The Lord is going to heal me. He's going to cure me of this ailment. You're persevering through. You work hard. Maybe there is an exam ahead of you and you're studying and working hard and trying. That is what causes your faith to increase. What is another thing that you can add to your faith to help you grow in faith? Verse 7, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 7 says, godliness. 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 Only the things that are of God. Only the things that are approved of God. Only the things that are true. Only the things that are honest. If you keep exercising that, you begin to grow in faith. You begin to realize that if I tell the truth, the Lord is still going to get me to where I need to get to. If I am good to other people, it doesn't rob me of what God wants to do for me. Godliness. Godliness. Sharing your Jesus with somebody else that they too may have life. Godliness. When you're doing that, you're increasing in faith. And in verse 7, added to godliness is brotherly kindness. Brotherly kindness. Just being kind to one another. Very essential. As you're exercising kindness, you are growing in faith. Finally, there is in verse 7 still, what you can add to your faith that will make you grow in faith. The Bible says it's called love. Brotherly love. Love for people. Love enough that will make you share what you have with them. Love enough that will make you share even Jesus, your Savior, with the dying world. Sharing your knowledge, showing the kindness of the Lord to others is called love. And when you're exercising that, you are growing in faith. What is the advantage of adding all these things to your faith? What is it? In verse 8, it says, for if these things are yours and abound, if you have these things, if you have knowledge of the Word of God, knowledge of who Jesus is, and you have virtue, yes, and you have patience or endurance, and you have godliness and brotherly love and affection, and you have self-control. And you're abounding in it, you're increasing it, you're enjoying it, you're doing it, and affecting other people with it. What's going to happen? You will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You will know the Lord Jesus the more, and your knowledge will affect others such that their lives will be redeemed from death and peril. You will become productive and useful. That's what it means to be not barren. You will become useful. You become productive when you add virtue, knowledge, self-control, patience, godliness, and love and kindness. When you add these to your daily, your everyday life, the Bible says you become a useful person. You become a productive person. You become someone who's affecting others positively. Now, verse 9 tells us, what is the disadvantage of not adding these things? What is the disadvantage of not growing in your faith? Verse 9, it says, for he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. If
you do not grow, if I do not grow in faith, in other words, if I do not add to my so-called faith, if I don't add love, I don't add kindness, I just want to do my thing by myself for myself. If I don't care about anybody else, if I don't exercise self-control and I say once saved, forever saved, and I can talk anyhow, I can look at anything and be anywhere and be anybody's, I can form cohorts with any group, whatever, even if they're not godly. Listen, verse 9 says, "It one would be like someone who is short-sighted, someone who is blind, someone who has forgotten that somebody paid the price for redemption. Someone shed their blood so that I could be saved." And if we're short-sighted and blind and we forget the work that Jesus Christ did on the cross, guess what? Can we still make eternity? Can that promise of eternity be fulfilled in such person's life? I doubt it. That cannot be. Therefore, you need to guard what you have jealously. The Bible says Jesus is coming, and he's coming quickly. Hold fast to what you have so that no one takes away your crown. Increase in your faith. Abound in the knowledge of the Lord. Abound in kindness and love. Abound in self-control so that no one will take away what you already have. So that selfishness will not take away your salvation. Carelessness will not take away your salvation. Lack of love will not take away your salvation. Very important. If you work hard at this, verse 10, which is precisely what verse 5 is prescribing, diligence and diligence. If you work hard, if you are diligent, if you are diligent. Verse 10, therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. To be sure that you are really chosen, that you are really called. Work hard at it. Even more. Be diligent even more. And finally, verse 11, why do we need to be diligent? Why do we need to increase our faith? Why do we need to abound in self-control and godliness and kindness and love? Why? Verse 11 says, for so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord Jesus and Savior. That's why. Why do I need to be just? Why do I need to continue to live a just life, a godly life, a kind life? Why do I need to increase my knowledge of who Jesus Christ is and what can he do? Why do I need to increase in faith? It is so that that promise of eternity in 1 John chapter 2 verse 25 can be fulfilled. The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 2, chapter 1, verse 11, that so that an entrance will be supplied to me abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior. I'm sure you do not want your Christian journey here on earth to be in vain. If you don't want your journey to be in vain, you're going to need to increase in faith. How do you do so? First of all, you believe that everything that pertains to life and godliness have been given to you. In other words, everything that you're going to need to please God has been given to you. You receive that by faith. You receive that by having knowledge, the continuous increased knowledge of who Jesus Christ is. And you now make a note for yourself that there is a promise for me, even eternity. Eternity has been promised to me, and I'm going to make it at all costs. Now, how am I going to make it? By increasing in my faith. I'm not going to sit and say, oh, I've been saved. No, I'm going to be diligent in increasing my virtue,
in increasing the knowledge of the Word of God that I have, in increasing the love that I expend, in increasing the kindness that I expend, I'm going to make sure that this is what I do. And if I do that, the Bible says, I've got the door, the entrance of the kingdom of heaven opened unto me. If there is anyone under the sound of my voice who has no clue of a place called eternity, I want to invite you today. Eternity is found in Christ Jesus. Eternity means a place of peace and rest with the King Jesus, who reigns forever and ever. In Him, there is no variation, there is no dilly-dallying, there is no hanky-panky, there is no changes, there is no lies. In Him, there is peace. There is no crying, there is no weeping in Christ Jesus. And He says He is going to come bring you to a place where all is peace. Right now in the world, there is war. There is unemployment. These are the things that we go through right here on earth. But when we die, where are we going to? Jesus promises a place where there is no more death. He promises a place where there is no crying, there is no arthritis, there is no headache, there is no migraine, there is no ulcer, there is no cancer, there is no weeping, there is no loss of child, there is no loss of spouse. Only in Christ Jesus can we find this type of security. Give your life to Jesus Christ today. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He wants to save you now. Would you pray this prayer with me? Dear Jesus, I thank you because you're ready and able to save me. I confess that I have been a sinner walking away from you. But receive me today and be my Lord and Savior. I will live for you, that I may gain eternity that you promise. If you have prayed that prayer with me, I believe that you're on your way into increasing in faith and into entry of the kingdom of the Lord. The Lord be with you. Make sure you find a Bible teaching church and join them. Be part of the body of Christ and grow in faith, as we are anticipating the miracles of the Lord. And in fact, the biggest miracle is eternity. God bless you.